When I gave my Palm Sunday sermon just a few weeks ago, the first-person sermon, I ended it on a cliffhanger in the story of what happened to that first-person character. And to be honest, at the time, I did not know what happened next in that character's story. And I wasn't planning a sequel. But several of you mentioned to me afterwards, you found yourself wanting to hear more, wanting to hear what happened next. And so I told myself I would remain open in case I discovered what happened next in that character's journey with Jesus. And so this week, I think I did. So today is part two. You do not need to have heard that Palm Sunday sermon to understand this one, but let's begin. I also decided not to get the stool because it's buried behind the piano. I was right there when he died. I was right there. I was still on my knees. He had seen me and loved me, and I felt like I'd been struck by lightning. I was crying, of course, and I was not the only one. There were several other women right there wailing, one in particular who must have been his mother because she looked a little like him, I think. Time just sort of stood still. I don't know how long I stayed there, down in the dust, just trying to take it in, that something was happening. I wasn't sure exactly what, but it felt like maybe the whole earth would just crack in half when he died. But then it was done. It was finished. Is it just time to go back home? I couldn't. I could not move from the foot of the cross. I couldn't leave him again. So I just sat there in the dust. At some point, one of the women noticed me sitting there, and she murmured something to the others and came my way. She asked, "Did you love him too?" I said, "I don't know. He might have loved me." And she smiled through her tears and said, "I know exactly what you mean." She held out her hand, and I took it, and she helped me up. She said, "Come." And she included me in the circle of those who had loved him. There was a man among them, and the woman who must have been Jesus' mother was clinging to him for dear life. I hadn't thought my heart could break any more than it already had. And she looked at me, and I whispered, "I'm so sorry." She reached over and grabbed my arms and pulled me close, and suddenly we were weeping together. And her grief made sense, but mine, all I could say over and over was, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And she started comforting me. "Oh, my poor child, have faith." Faith? Who can have faith in the heart of Golgotha? My people have known too much death. It is all around us, and we're tired and we're weary. And a big part of me wanted to just go home and give up yet again. But she wouldn't let me leave, Mary. Now she was holding on to me like my life depended on it. She said, "Come, break bread with us. He would have wanted that." So she pulled me along with the other women until all of a sudden, as I was about to leave, I shook my head as if I'd been in a dream and yelled, "Abba, wait, I can't go. My father's going to wonder where the dinner is. He's going to be waiting for me." And then I groaned because I remembered Abba was the one who told me about this Jesus of Nazareth in the first place. He had hoped. He was going to be devastated, and I needed to go to him. So I tried to pull away, but Mary was going to have none of it. I think she knew maybe if I left, I wouldn't come back. So she told John, "Go, get her Abba. We'll meet you in the room." John looked a little alarmed. They didn't know me. But Mary said again, "John, it is what he would have wanted. Go." So my Abba and I ended up in an upper room there in Jerusalem with Mary and John and the other men who traveled with Jesus and many others who loved him. And so we were together that Shabbat. There was so much grief, so much fear. Would we be next? Would the leaders come for us? Somehow I'd become a part of that us. After one argument between James and John, Mary turned to me. I think she was trying to change the subject. She asked the question I'd been dreading, "How did you meet my son?" Well, what was I going to say? How could I admit to this group the truth? that I had been one of those in the crowd calling for his death. Would they believe me that in the end, he saw me not with hate or even disappointment, but with love? Would they believe me? I thought about not telling the whole truth, but in the end, I told the whole thing because it felt like the only way to honor him well. So I told them. I told them all of it, and I said I was wrong, and I was sorry, and I knew I didn't deserve to be there, and thank you for the meal, and I wiped my tears, began to get up to go. They wouldn't want me there anymore. But then I felt a hand on my arm, and I looked up, and the man they called Simon was there before me. At first, he couldn't say anything, but then finally he whispered, "I betrayed him too." And others did too. They began murmuring and weeping again. He told us we'd fail him. We did. I wish I could see him again to make it right. And the weeping took on a new layer. But Mary, his mother, simply came to me and folded me in her arms. She whispered in my ear, "He forgave you. I will too." And I looked at her and I said, "Will you tell me about him?" And she did. His crazy parables and his birth and his teachings and the things he did that drove her crazy and the things that she had been told she still didn't fully understand. We talked and we wept long into the night. I couldn't get enough. But at some point I fell asleep, leaning against Abba in the room, when suddenly I woke to thumping on the door. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. But somewhere nearby, a man shouted, "They found us!" Simon came flying out to barricade the door. But then we heard women's voices from the other side. "Let us in, let us in. He's alive. We have seen him." Talk about a commotion. It's like an anthill had been stepped on. In they came, Mary and Mary and Mary and Joanna, I think. They were talking over each other and crying, but the happy kind. They were telling a story of an angel and a big stone rolled away, and they said the tomb was empty and that they'd seen Jesus, that he was alive, and that he'd told them to come tell us. And Mary said, "He told us this would happen, you remember? Wait, he said this that would happen? Nobody told me that." I was looking around trying to figure out what to think. The women clearly believed they were telling the truth. The men thought they were crazy, hallucinating from grief and lack of sleep. Simon finally just threw up his hands and ran out the door. Eventually, he returned. He said, "Yeah, the tomb is empty. The grave cloths are there." The women kept saying, "See, he's risen." But they didn't believe. They hadn't seen Jesus. So Simon just was flat out arguing with Mary. Nobody was sure what to do. It just seemed too scary to hope. And then in the middle of all that, Abba said we needed to go home. Because we'd come to Jerusalem for the festival, but the festival was done. He needed to get back to work. And he couldn't leave me behind. So I cried, I pleaded a bit, but my father needed me and I wouldn't stay without his blessing. So I gave Mary a last hug, even while everyone was still kind of arguing. And we headed out on the road to Emmaus. It was a beautiful afternoon for a walk, and we had no shortage of things to talk about. All we had was questions. Could it really be that Jesus of Nazareth was raised from the dead? Who'd heard of such a thing? If he'd been raised, what did that even mean? Could he still be our Redeemer? How could a death on the cross fit into the story of our people? No, there's no way he could be alive, except there was that story of Lazarus, but who could have been there to call Jesus out of the tomb? So our heads were just spinning. And we were heading home. Would we ever even learn the answers? "What are you discussing? This is not good for my heart. Someone was walking with us on the road. When did he appear? I felt like he'd been there a while, but I didn't remember him coming up. Abba jumped too, but then his eyesight has never been great. Speaking of eyes, my eyes felt strange, like I couldn't get this traveler into focus. Maybe it was that the sun was in my eyes, you know, it was getting later in the day. Maybe your eyes don't work so well after lots of crying and little sleep. Felt as if I couldn't quite see him straight on, like he was always just to the side of my vision, like one of those lights floating in your eyes. But he was looking at us. This was a real question. So we stopped there on the road. We really need to tell this all over again? And Abba said, are you the only pilgrim to Jerusalem who hasn't heard of the things that happened there at the festival? What things? Oy vey. Well, we managed to share the story again, but it hurt all over again. We told him of Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, mighty in word and deed, that the leaders of our people handed him over to the Romans to be killed, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped, we had hoped, we had hoped. We were wrong. Were we wrong? Some of our women just this morning told about angels and Jesus alive, and they went to look and found the tomb but didn't see Jesus, so we don't know what to think. And the traveler listened intently. And when we finished, did he say, wow? No. He sighed and shook his head and said, you foolish ones, so slow to believe what the prophets have said. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then to enter into his glory? And then he talked, and we walked. He spoke to us of the scriptures, our scriptures. We knew these scriptures, but not like this. We heard things that we'd heard but not ever heard, if that makes sense. He spoke to us of Moses, of the prophet like Moses who would come. And he spoke to us of the Passover, the deliverance of our people, the blood on the door frames. And he spoke to us of atonement and temple sacrifices and of our father Abraham who spared his son and his heavenly father who didn't. He spoke to us the words of Isaiah, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are made whole. And so much more. I wish I'd written it down. And the traveler spoke not just to Abba, but to me, to me. He wanted me to understand these things. My heart was burning, burning within me, and Abba's eyes were full of light. Never in my life have I wished the journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus were longer, because I wanted more. I wanted so much more. I could have listened to this traveler forever, and I'd forgotten to even ask his name. When we reached our village, Abba and I at the exact same time urged him, stay with us, come in, it's late. We would have done the same to any stranger wandering through town so close at night, but I admit, this one I actually wanted to stay. I've often wondered, what if we hadn't invited him in? Would he have passed on by? But we did. And our servant washed the dust from his feet and from ours, and there was fresh bread and wine and some good figs to share. I had more questions, but also I knew my place. I was eager to serve him, to serve this man who was speaking things to me that made my heart leap for joy. So I lit the lamps. I prepared the table. We sat together in the lamplight. I had almost forgotten the grief of the day and the presence of this traveler. And I set the bread in front of Abba for him to break and bless and give to our guests, and I began to sit down. But then our guest took the bread into his own hands. I had not noticed his scars before. And he lifted the bread to the heavens as if he were the host of our meal, not a guest passing through. And he gave praise to the Almighty, the Heavenly Father, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And he broke the bread with a snap, and Abba gasped. And the traveler held out to me a piece of that broken bread in his scarred hand. And as I received the bread, I saw him. I saw him. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb who was slain, who has begun to reign. The Son of Man now seated at the right hand of the Father, the Good Shepherd of the lost sheep, me, the lost sheep, the light of the world in flesh, that same man who looked at me with eyes of love from the height of the cross, Son of God, Son of Man. From the cross he saw me, but in the meal I saw him. My Lord and my God, I cried out. And he smiled and disappeared. And Abba and I just stared at each other. At the same time, we leaped up. It was him. On the road, he was telling us his story, our story. I understand. We have to go tell the others. We have seen Jesus. And so we packed right back up, and we walk-ran all 7 miles back to Jerusalem. We ran up the stairs. We banged on the door. It's Cleopas and his daughter Mary. Yes, my name is also Mary. It's a classic for a reason. The door flew open, and everyone was talking at once. Mary, his mother, was full of joy and relief and wonder and a touch of I told you so, and the men were finally rejoicing because before we said anything, they said, it's true. Simon saw him. I rolled my eyes a little one, that one, but not much, because we had news to share too. We were exchanging stories and marveling and joyous, but still had so many questions. And without Jesus there in the room with us, the fear kept creeping back in because, okay, now what? Suddenly, Jesus stood there again with us in the upper room. Peace be with you. And someone screamed, it's a ghost! Because you got to admit, this is hard to wrap our heads around. It has been a day. Jesus just smiled and held out his hands. Touch me and see. Look at my scars, my hands and feet. And then he said, do you have something to eat? And part of me was like, we just fed you. But he ate some fish, and yet again, he opened up the scriptures to us again. We fed him, but he fed us. Word and meal, meal and word. These days, we call that a sacrament. Glory be to Jesus. And Jesus told us, this is what is written. The word of God speaking into our little upper room. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm a witness of these things. And he said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And we did. This time we stayed. Abba and me, we saw Jesus restore Simon, Peter. And we watched him embrace Mary, his mother, another time. And I got the chance to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And to hear his words, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. Peace be with you. He saw me first, but in that strange holy meal, as my heart burned within me at last, I saw him. And my life will never be the same. A postscript. John 19:25 says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Some have connected Mary of Clopas with Cleopas in Luke 24, although more likely Mary of Clopas was the wife of Clopas and not his daughter. I took some creative license here. Some interpreters in the early church even identified Cleopas as Jesus' uncle, Joseph's brother, in which case Jesus would be walking on the Emmaus Road with his aunt and uncle. My character is from my own imagination, but the meal we receive is not. So today, as we hear the holy word and eat the holy meal, Jesus stands among us too. Receive his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.